The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
If you're enjoying the Hoop Heads Podcast, please think about leaving us a rating and review in iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. It would really help us to grow our audience and get people out there to be able to find the show a lot easier. We appreciate your help, and if you wouldn't mind, please make that rating 5 stars.
Jordan Clarkson, he loves to shoot.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And we are here on Wednesday, January 2nd.
Almost January 3rd.
For our first 2019 NBA pod. Jason, why don't you walk us through our first topic?
Yeah, so this will officially be the first pod we release in 2019. It's going to be a classic. The first thing that we want to talk about is the Cavs are headed back in the right direction. They are officially, as of this evening, 8-30, which is the worst record in the NBA.
No, it's the best record
in the NBA. It is the best. In our standpoint, it is the best record in the NBA. I was concerned at the beginning of the game because Tristan Thompson came in and had 10 points in the first quarter, and they were up by like 7, and I was like, oh no, here we go.
By the way, my ninth grade daughter informs me every day that she voted for Tristan Thompson for the All-Star game again today. She says I'm voting for him every single day. Well, I said good luck with that.
I think the Cavs are going to have 0 All-Stars. I feel pretty confident in that.
Yes, I would concur with that statement.
I think the only sighting that we will have of a Cavalier will be Colin Sexton in the rookie sophomore game, would be my guess.
Yeah, we don't have any slam dunkers.
I don't think Chetty will be in the rookie sophomore game. I don't think he was in the rookie game last year.
I don't think he's good enough to make it.
No. So, so the Cavs are back in the right direction, and they are doing a really good job. I will say they look competitive at times, which is a positive.
I mean, in reality, it's a perfect storm in terms of the situation in that I think they're still competing. I think the team's playing hard. I think Larry Drew has actually done a credible job of keeping them competitive on the floor. And yet, at the same time, they just don't have the players, the skill, plus all the injuries that they've suffered is putting them in perfect position to be able to get to where at least you and I want them to get to, which is the top of the draft. And again, because of the new way the lottery system is set up this year, you know, if you're in one of the top three, your percentage of getting the top pick is
equal.
But there is an advantage to being the worst team in the league, and that is that you can't drop, I believe, lower than fourth in the draft. And so history tells us that the higher you can get up in the draft, the more likely it is that you're going to get one of the best guys. And again, you could get that best guy at 9 or 10 or 15 potentially, but your chances are much better when you're at the top of the draft.
Yeah, so I have at one point or another watched at least a quarter of every single game of the Cavs season this year, which I didn't know that I was going to say that, especially when they're 8-30. That's pretty abysmal.
You're an impressive fan, I have to say.
I'm just more like, I'm looking at it from the perspective of, you know, I kind of want to see the nuts and bolts of what we're going to deal with in the next 5 years, and that would be Colin Sexton, Chetty, and
Zion.
Hopefully Zion. Or
wait, I saw a statistic. I think it was on The Ringer, but I could be wrong, where Zion's PER this year is 40, which is seriously like, they compared it to like the average player is like a 12, and the average superstar player is like 30. And yeah, 40 is like unbelievably unreal in terms of like his shooting percentage, just the things that he's doing. And I just think that, again, he has something that he's going to bring to the table in terms of the showmanship, the athleticism. And then he's been, I think, a revelation to even people who watched him play in high school in terms of just his all-around floor game. And the big question is going to be his shot. And, yep, you know, that's probably the question mark for most guys.
So, yeah, I will say, if we end up with Zion, there's a good chance that we will get LeBron round 3.
It's possible.
I will say that because you'll have Zion will have had three years of playing, and then it will be kind of like the same Kyrie situation.
Yeah, but you know what has to happen. We have to get somebody else besides Zion in order to get LeBron back here.
LeBron Jr.
Bronny.
Well, he won't be.
Well, if we don't have Bronny, we're not getting whoever drafts Bronny is who. That's who LeBron's going to play for in that year. Well, I don't think there's any doubt.
Well, he's got 1 year though after that though, because Bronny's not a freshman, right? Bronny's an eighth grader this year.
I thought he was older than that.
Or maybe I could be wrong.
I thought he was a freshman somehow.
Regardless, I mean, we don't know what the whole NCAA rule is going to be in 4 years from now. Like, do they have to play a year of college? Do they have to?
Well, 2022 is the year that all the teams, NBA teams, seem to be thinking that that's going to be the double year where, you know, the one and done guys will come out and they're going to erase the one and done rule. So the freshmen, you know, college freshmen or high school seniors, I guess, won't, you know, will also be in that draft. Yeah. So that's the year that everybody's positioning themselves to be.
So I guess that would be Bronny's first year.
So who knows? I mean, but to me, that's, you know, wherever LeBron ends up in the next, you know, for his next contract, Bronny, I think, is going to play a big role in where he ends up.
All right. So that's kind of the Cavs piece. And a little indirectly, we talked about Zion. That was thanks to the
anytime five, I can work Zion into
well,
the
Well, thanks to the five people. Thanks to the five people that responded to our little impromptu, we're talking NBA. One of the questions was talk about Zion, so we probably will sprinkle Zion in throughout the
you
rest.
You might
of
hear from me again about you Zion.
So then we'll kind of go back in time a little bit to the Christmas games. You know, I remember the last 4 years I've kind of begrudgingly to my wife watched the Cavs games because they played like the last two or three. It was against the Warriors and everything, but I didn't really have that tie to watch all five basketball games, although I think I watched four of them. I didn't watch much of the Bucks Knicks. I watched like 10 minutes of this and I was like, oh, we know how this story is gonna end because the Knicks are bad. Watched the Rockets, which the only piece that I want to talk about with the Rockets is James Harden's last 10 games.
Wait, it's my favorite player, but I have to say that when you read me the stat line, and obviously I've followed and know that he's been putting up huge numbers, but I didn't know exactly what the stat line
okay.
is. Go ahead and read that.
So here we go. I'm going to go back to December 13th. I'm going to read the last 10 games, the amount of points that he scored in the last 10 games. December 13th against the Lakers, 50 points. December 15th against the Grizzlies, 32 points, which, by the way, in this streak is the lowest amount of points in the last 10 games. It's 32. December 17th against the Jazz, 47. December 19th against the Wizards, 35. December 20th against the Heat, 35. December 22nd against the Spurs, 39. December 25th against the Thunder, 41. December 27th against the Celtics, 45. December 29th against the Pelicans, 41. And December 31st, 43 against the Grizzlies. Now, I want to note, all 10 of those teams are playoff teams, except for the Wizards. I think the Heat are a playoff team by the end of the year. I think they're on the bubble, okay? But Grizzlies twice. Pelicans are probably a playoff team or they're a bubble team. Celtics for sure. Thunder for sure. Spurs are probably going to sneak in just because I can't believe that they're still playing as well as they're playing considering all their injuries. The Jazz are the way that the Jazz, by the way, are like 8-1 in the last 9. They're playing ridiculous basketball. And then the Lakers, despite LeBron being injured, are still playing solid. I think the game just started now. So all those teams, there are no slouches there. There's no Phoenix. There's no Cavs. There's no, I don't know, who else can we name? Magic. There's none of those teams. I mean,
what he's been doing, again, is incredible in terms of those numbers. I don't know what that puts his scoring average at for the season.
His scoring average for the season is only 33 points a game.
All right, so 33 points a game, though, if you look back over the last 10, 12 years, that's probably the highest. If he finished at 33 a game, that would probably be the highest average to lead the league in quite a while.
Even more insane is in these games he's had 4 triple doubles, okay, and his 3-point he's hit the first few games it was kind of small numbers, but in the last 5 he's made 7 threes, 5 threes, 9 threes, 7 threes, and 6 threes, and he's shooting above 50% except for one of those games.
And yet, I still maintain that if James Harden is your best player, I don't think you're going to win a championship.
Well, I don't think so either, and I agree with that because, you know, these stats are, I won't say they're empty stats, but I think these stats, when you get to the playoffs and you're playing the Warriors and they're playing the Nuggets or you're playing those teams, I can't believe I just said the Nuggets next to the Warriors, but you know what I mean. Like, I don't think that you can carry it. you can't carry and win a seven game series, and maybe he'll prove us wrong. Maybe, but I mean, and this has also been with the absence of Chris Paul again, right? I mean, this is the second time Paul's been injured this year. You are dead nuts on when we talked earlier the year. I can't believe you're going to give him a max. What is it? Would you get a 4-year contract?
4-year contract.
And he's played 15 games this year, maybe 12 games.
Yeah, that contract is going to hang on the Houston Rockets.
It's going to be an elephant
for the next few years.
It's going to be huge.
That thing's going to hang heavy.
But I felt like I didn't really have much to say about the Rockets Thunder game. I didn't watch it. But I just had to bring up those 10. He's averaging 40.8 points per game over the last 10.
Well, let me just say this. Here's my hardened hot take, and that is that when the playoffs come around, I just don't think that the offense of him dribbling 14 times and then shooting, you get tired. When you're carrying that kind of load, you get tired. So that's number one. Number two, he has not a very good track record of coming through in big moments. And finally, number three, he only plays one end of the floor. And it's hard to be an NBA champion if all you're going to do is play offense. I mean, it's one thing to be an offensive team. Golden State's an offensive team, but yet in the years that they've won, they're down a little bit defensively this year. But in all the years that they've won and been at the top, they've been one of the better defensive teams in the league.
I will say he's averaging almost 2.5 steals per game.
Right, but he's out of position and doesn't
probably
compete as hard as he could. And there's just, to me, until he proves it, I just have a hard time believing that he's going to lead them to the NBA.
He's also averaging the most minutes in his career other than one season, I think, right now. He's averaging 38 minutes a game almost. So.
And there's just something about watching him that, I don't know, he just is so unconventional in the way he plays.
I think it's all the weight that he has to carry, and then that beard just weighs him down to the floor a little bit more. And it's just, I just don't know.
I don't know, man. That thing's got to be awful itchy.
Okay, so I think the middle game was the game of the day. Celtics, 76ers. I watched every minute of that game. I think I texted you a few times during the game saying, I'm watching this game, and there's no doubt in my mind. And I said, Embiid is the MVP of that team because he just, as the Sixers go, the Sixers go. And he carried the team for the first 3.5 quarters, and then you could just tell he was out of gas, and they lost their steam. They ended up going to overtime and losing. And by the way, in overtime, he didn't touch the ball on the offensive end of the floor. Simmons kept going to the lane and throwing up these terrible fast break layups. Like, they are fast break layups that I'm used to seeing from some of the teams that I've coached. They are terrible. Like, he was under the basket and he threw the ball up on one of them. Like, I just think, you know, and we'll talk a little bit near the end about Embiid and Simmons night tonight and what they've been doing. But I just think that game kind of proved to me that I still think that Embiid is the MVP of that team, and they will go only as far as he carries them.
I know I kind of said the opposite in our preseason NBA pod, that I kind of thought Simmons was the key. And Simmons has had a very odd, strange year. He's been, I would say, maybe as good as he was last year, or maybe even slightly worse. And he certainly hasn't gotten better, seemingly. But in the long term, I still think that if you look back to the end of last season when they went on their run, when Embiid was injured and Simmons was just such a huge driver and catalyst for what they were able to accomplish at the end of the season, that I think there's still a pathway for Simmons to kind of be the driving force. And Embiid obviously has a strong personality, and he's a big personality that likes to talk a lot. And Simmons is more of the quieter guy. But when you watch him play, and when I've seen him, you know, in the playoffs last year, and I know he got frustrated against Boston, but he still just had that look in his eye that he was going to figure out a way to be able to try to get it done. And I just think that he still has the alpha dog in him to be able to be the best player at some point in his career on a championship team. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I've heard speculation that, you know, Simmons and Embiid may not end up being together long term in Philadelphia. And who knows? But I definitely think they're two special talents that are unique in their own way. I mean, Embiid, when you see him play, that guy is just humongous. I mean, he makes other NBA players look small when you look at his body, and you forget when you watch him move how big he is, because he's so agile. Like, he doesn't look like a guy who's 7'2", 270 pounds, or 7'3", however big he is. He's just gigantic, and he moves like a small guy, and he's just gigantic. And then Simmons is, you know, obviously 6'10", and can do things that not very many guys at that size have been able to do. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can figure out a way to make them coexist. And then we're still saying all this, and I don't know what exactly their record is, but they're going to be right there in the East. I think they're going to be right there with Toronto.
Full disclosure, I want to note, and I've talked to Mike about this multiple times, the smartest thing I ever did in my fantasy basketball drafting, yes, I do fantasy basketball, was I stacked the two of them. I have both Embiid and Simmons on my fantasy team, and my team's doing all right. The rest of my team's not so hot. When you've got Jeff Green on your team because you dropped Rodney Hood because he was injured.
Everybody wants Uncle Jeff Green to be around.
But anyways, but what I will say is I just think the two of them together is great. I don't know, like you said, you kind of alluded to it. I've heard rumors, and I don't know if your rumors are the same line, Bill Simmons and kind of some of the NBA people on that network. I just don't know that that's a long-term thing. So that's all I'm going to say about the 76ers now. Did you have anything you want
to
add?
It'd be hard for them to get rid of one or both of those guys. I mean, it's hard to imagine them being able to trade Simmons or let him walk and being able to get equal value for him again. He's just such a unique player. It seems like you would obviously go to the ends of the earth to be able to try to figure out how to keep those two guys together, because they're both immensely talented.
I guess we can finish this with one more thing on the team. Tonight they played the Suns, and these are the stat lines. We'll start with Ben Simmons. He had 29 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block. Pretty good night, I would say. 29. Anytime you score 20 points, and the fact that he had 6 assists and only 3 rebounds, though, is kind of surprising. But here's probably why he only had 3 rebounds. Joel Embiid's stat line tonight: 42 points, 18 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and a 3-pointer made.
Embiid's, again, both of those guys are super talented. Plus, they were playing the Suns.
They were playing the Suns, and I think Embiid, from the free throw line tonight, he has James Harden free throw numbers tonight. Joel Embiid, 17 of 19 from the free throw line.
See, that's another thing, that if you look at the long-term possibilities of what Philly can be, the fact that Embiid can shoot free throws is a huge, huge factor in what eventually is going to be their ability to win close games.
I didn't even know this. Ben Simmons went 15 of 23 from the free throw line. So between the two of them, they shot 42 free throws between just the two of those guys. Crazy.
Simmons, it's rare. It's funny. I guess Simmons isn't technically a little guy. I mean, he's 6'10", so I guess you could say that he's not a good foul shooter. But the fact that Embiid can make free throws is a huge bonus for the Sixers going forward.
All right. The last thing we'll talk about on the Christmas Day games, the Lakers and the Warriors game. That was quite the game. I did watch that whole thing, too. I forgot I watched that whole thing. LeBron getting hurt, and seemingly it looked like the ship was sinking. And then...
Wait, are you just quoting Michael Ray Richardson?
No.
Do you remember that? You don't know
anything
about
that
quote. Back... Oh, do you know who Michael Ray Richardson is?
I have no idea who that is.
Okay. Michael Ray Richardson played for a number of teams back in probably the
journeyman
early 80s. No, actually, he was a very talented player. He probably had a journeyman career, but he was a very talented player. Got involved in the cocaine and drugs and just had a rough situation. But anyway, at one point they asked him something about how the team was doing. Don't stop interrupting.
Did Rick James say cocaine's a hell of a drug?
Listen, I don't know about Rick James, but I know about basketball. So anyway... Michael Ray Richardson at some point was asked about how his team was doing. He said, "Come on, man, the ship be sinking." Well, you got
to
look that.
I'll have to look it up.
You got
to
look that quote up.
But anyways, what I was saying was, he goes out, and all of a sudden, it just looked like the Warriors were taking over. But nope, in to save the day, Lance Stevenson and Rajon, was it Rondo who came into the game? Was he back yet? I know Stevenson came in and just went. He went bonkers for like a minute. I have to think it was Rondo, too. I think the two of them together, we never thought I would say that, but they just came in and they saved the Lakers, and the Lakers ended up winning that game.
Well, I think back to our conversation in the preseason about, you know, these cast of characters that the Lakers have put together. And again, to this point, I can honestly say I've been surprised by how successful the Lakers have been. And yet at the same point, I think what's interesting is at least in my opinion, I don't think the West has been as good this year as it's been in the past. I think it's maybe deeper and there's more good teams, but I don't think there are teams at the level that the 2, 3, and 4 seed in the West this year are not going to be as formidable as the 2, 3, and 4 seeds have been over the last 2, 3, 4 seasons. And so I think that's opened things up for all these teams, Denver, the Nuggets, the Lakers, all these teams that kind of the Thunder that are kind of in the middle, and they're not great teams by any means, but they've been able to work themselves up towards the top of the West. And again, it's a couple game swing and you can be back down to spot 10. You know, you lose 3 in a row and all of a sudden you've dropped 6 or 7 positions in the playoff standing. So I think the West is going to be interesting as we move forward just to see how teams end up positioning themselves when playoff time rolls around.
I agree. Okay, so since we're talking Lakers, let's just go to the other thing that kind of happened in the last few days was they released some documentary or something, and I don't exactly have all the details on it, but LeBron said something along the lines of that he became the GOAT when the Cavs came back from a 3-1 deficit, and I know you have strong disagreement with that, and I have a disagreement with that too. I mean, I still think Jordan's the best player of all time, and by think I know Jordan is still probably the best player of all time. Could LeBron eventually pass him? Maybe, but I don't really like that. I don't think that LeBron is ever, like, I know he calls himself the king and he has chosen one on his back, but I've never really had him come out and say, like, something so declarative as that. And I was kind of put off by it a little bit because, you know, he always talks about, oh, I love being considered one of the greats, blah, 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 but he's never actually come out and said something with this kind of, I don't know if hubris is the right word, but I was just kind of surprised about it.
Yeah, it's not something that you typically would think of him as saying, yet we all know that he has, you know, a sizable ego like anybody does at that level who's reached that, you know, level of attainment and of success. You know, you tend to have a big ego. But I think for LeBron to say that was surprising just because, again, he doesn't, to make that declaration seems like that would be something that others would say about you as opposed to you declaring that yourself. And obviously, as you said, I disagree vehemently with that particular statement. I'll go to my grave, I think, believing that Jordan is the best player for numerous reasons that I've already stated. Number one, just being his competitiveness and desire to do whatever it would take to win a basketball game, whereas I don't think LeBron has that same killer instinct, despite the fact that he may have the full package of basketball skills, that mental edge that Jordan had over all of his opponents and would have over anybody, I think just is what totally sets him apart. So, again, I think the argument for LeBron, we've talked about it before, for people who are going to argue that he's the greatest ever, the argument is going to come down to if LeBron plays another 4, 5, 6 years and continues to put up the statistics that he's putting up now, the statistical case for LeBron in terms of where he's going to stand on the career list of points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, minutes, games, is going to be unassailable. I mean, he's going to he's going to fly by everybody in terms of career statistics. And I think it comes down to your definition of what the greatest is. LeBron could possibly have the greatest career, but I don't think that makes him the greatest player. To me, the greatest player is a guy who had a reasonable amount of longevity, which obviously Jordan had, and also is the guy that if you had to put that peak version of him out on the floor, would I want the peak version of LeBron or would I want the peak version of Jordan? And for me, there's never a doubt.
All right. Next thing, just really quickly, the next few things. Yesterday, Kawhi, career high, 45 points on.
Is he playing back-to-backs yet?
I don't believe so.
Because I know he hasn't up until this year. Up until, you know, 2019 and in 2018, he did not play any back-to-backs. So I know there was talk that maybe he was going to start playing back to back.
I heard the most recent thing that I heard was that it was going to be after the All-Star break, which I think, I mean, if you're Toronto, why rush it? I mean, you're technically tied for first. You're 28-11. Milwaukee's 26-10. I don't exactly know. Win percentage wise, Milwaukee's a little bit ahead, but you've got 2 more wins, but you also played 3 more games. Anyway, it's getting ridiculous. But anyways, I don't see why you rush him back to playing back-to-backs, because in the playoffs, you're not going to play back-to-backs.
Well, and the bottom line is you want him healthy. If he's not healthy, if he's not healthy in the playoffs, it doesn't matter if you're the number one seed or you're the number four seed. If Kawhi Leonard isn't healthy, the Toronto Raptors are not advancing to the NBA Finals.
Yep,
and if he is healthy, who knows?
Yeah, he had 45 points on 16 of 22 shooting. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. So if I asked you right now, Mike, I'm putting you on the spot, who is the number three seed in the East? Who would you say? I don't know when the last time you looked.
I would say the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah. Did you look today?
No, I didn't look. But since you asked me that, I figured it was an oddball, because we all know that the teams that we consider to be the top four obviously would be Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, and who am I missing? Toronto.
So Milwaukee's one, Toronto's two, Indiana's three, Philly's four, Boston's five. The Miami Heat, sitting at 500, is six.
Yeah, the bottom of the East is just...
Charlotte is seven.
That's a turd bowl.
Trevor's Detroit is eight. And here we go again with my prediction. Brooklyn finally has its pick. It's sitting a half a game out of the playoffs.
Well, there you go. What's the Pistons' record?
The Pistons are 17-19.
Okay.
The Cavs, are they going to get to 17 wins by the end of the season?
So we have eight. What are we? We're 8-30, so that's 38
games.
That's
nine more wins in the next 42.
I mean, it depends on Kevin Love's health. If Kevin Love comes back and he's healthy and he's playing, then I think they have a shot to surpass 17. If I was betting, though, I would bet under 17, because that will help us secure Zion for those of us who are clamoring for him.
I don't know. It's just bad. It's bad. What's really bad is the Cavs haven't really played a lot out of the division yet. Out of the conference yet. We've only played eight games in the West.
Yeah, that's not good. I know we have a West Coast swing.
We played 28 games in conference.
Yeah. Well, the East, I mean, if you're in the Eastern Conference and you're one of those top five teams, the only thing you want to do is avoid the 4-5 series. And if you're a 1-2 or a 3, you got to believe that, barring some oddball matchup that I'm not aware of, that one team has trouble with another, I can't imagine the 1-8, 2-7, or 3-6 series being much of a series. But that 4-5, depending on who that is, you know, could be an interesting series.
Yep. I don't know. All right. And then the one last thing that I want to talk about is Kyrie's season so far. And he's kind of starting to get a little bit of... I don't know if you would say, you know, MVP buzz, but the way that he's kind of turned the season around for them, because they did not look good at the beginning of the year.
No, they've had a lot of trouble kind of putting it together and figuring out how all the pieces fit together. It's taken, I think, Brad Stevens longer than most people thought to get it together. But I would say that most people still probably think that team has the highest ceiling of any of the five teams at the top of the East. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I think that, again, once they figure it out and they get to the end of the season, they should be right there. And Kyrie's a proven, I've said it many times, when Kyrie left and when he was playing here with LeBron, you can count on one hand, maybe two, the number of guys who have averaged 28 or 29 points a game in multiple NBA finals, and Kyrie's one of them. So that's a guy that I'd be willing to go to bat with anytime.
Yeah, so I don't think he's... I want to be clear. I don't think that he's the MVP, nor will he win the MVP. But his numbers, if they were to continue to grow, he could get some consideration. He's only averaging 23 points a game, but he's averaging... It's got to be his career high. He's averaging almost 7 assists a game. That's got to be close. That's got to be a career high. And his field goal percentage is almost 50%.
That's a high percentage for a guy that shoots from the outside.
49.1%.
What's he shooting from three?
41%.
All right, so he's shooting above 40% from three. He takes a lot of weird, crazy shots. He's a guy who strikes me, again, he's never, I don't want to say he's not a volume shooter, because it kind of, you know, he's always obviously been a score first player. And yet at the same time, like, it seems like he could be a guy that has a scoring title in him at some point, that if he decided that, hey, I'm going to shoot 22, 23 times a game.
He has that Mamba mentality.
Yeah, there you go. I just think, though, he scores when he's going well. He just scores so easily, and he's such a different player than most guys today in the league, because he plays below the rim and he's so shifty and he's got all those angles and bank shots, and just he's just a very unique player. And you know, I said it 2 minutes ago and I'll say it again. There are very, very few people who have done what he's done on the biggest stages in the NBA. And so when you have a proven commodity on the biggest level, he's kind of the anti-James Harden in that way. Like, when he's had an opportunity to come through in big moments, he has. And that's the kind of guy that I want to roll with when it comes time to win a playoff game or win a series or win an NBA championship. I want somebody that is going to come through in big moments. That, to me, speaks volumes of the kind of player that you are and the type of person that you are. And so I really believe that, again, if he can get them close, that, you know, they might have a shot to, you know, to get to the finals. I'm not sure they can beat Golden State, but he might have a shot to get them to the finals.
I'm starting, by the way, speaking of Golden State, I'm starting to think that they will not be in the finals this year. I know they're in the middle.
But who beats them? See, that's the thing. Like, it's like we talked about earlier. I think they're definitely weaker. You know, you've got the whole Draymond shooting 28% from three.
Have you seen how the teams are playing him on defense?
They don't even guard him.
It would be like putting me or you out there, and they wouldn't even
they don't even come near him. Half the time, they don't even look at him. I mean, it's hilarious. So, I mean, that's a problem, and obviously there's the underlying Durant free agency and whatever that's doing to the team chemistry. Or locker room. Even if it's not out in the open, there's an undercurrent that's a problem. And so I definitely think that Golden State is weakened, but I also think that the West, like I said earlier, the 2, 3, and 4 seed in the West, whoever those teams end up being, I don't think those teams are as good. Like, in years past, I think there was one or two teams that you could look at and say those teams could at least push the Warriors. I'm not sure that any of the teams in the West this year are good enough, at least where they are now, to be able to beat Golden State. Unless somebody's hurt. If Curry or Durant is injured, whether they're out or they're just slowed, then maybe.
If the season ended today, Golden State Lakers would be round one.
Be a fun series.
That
might be the highest rated first round NBA series in a long time if it was Lakers Warriors.
I don't want to be clear. I don't think that's going to end up. I mean, I don't think one way or another someone's going to shift.
What? Warriors are two.
Two and Lakers are seven. Right? One way or another, it's going to shift around.
How far are the Lakers from the 14 spot?
How far are they from 14? Five games. How far are they from number one spot?
I don't know. How far?
Four games.
So they're right. So they're right there in the middle. They're right in the middle. But again, so is everybody else, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, the San Antonio's crept up to number eight. So, I mean, it's like.
Where's Utah?
Utah's 12.
How many games are they out of the playoffs?
They're three out of the playoffs.
No, they got a long ways to go to get up to my number two seed. I don't think that's going to
happen. They're only seven games out of the number two seed.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, again, it's like I said earlier, a 2 or 3 game winning.
There's literally one team that's.
Yeah, Phoenix is the only team that's out.
I have to say, like, I kind of forgot about the question that I posed to people, and I don't want to not answer the questions that we were.
Yeah, sure.
So, throw the questions out that people threw at us. So,
we got to engage our audience.
So the first one that I got, I did not tell you about tonight, from my good friend Jimmy Pisarcik.
I told you. You told me it made you laugh.
This is the one that made me laugh. Right, so Jimmy Pisarcik.
Same for me.
Says, response. I said, my question was, any NBA topics you think we should talk about? And Jimmy Pisarcik says, Markelle Fultz jumper. And he's like, well, he must listen to the podcast.
He must be a big fan of ours because he knows that we talk about that all the time. I'll spend 30 seconds on
go ahead. You got this.
I love this.
I could do my
Markelle Fultz diatribe. I love it. I don't know what's going to happen with him. The latest development, I think, was that he is planning to come back this year and play at some point, according to his attorney, agent, friend, Mr. Raymond Brothers. And I said it before. And
is Raymond Brothers related to Tony Brothers, the official?
He could be. Maybe they're brothers.
Oh, God.
That was a good one. I like that. See, that's the kind of spur-of-the-moment comedy you get here on the Hoopheads podcast. Fultz, I still think that he's not going to be able to come back and play in Philly. I think there's too much going on there. I think despite whatever he may say or whatever his agent may say publicly, I think that there's some type of mental issue going on, and I think he's going to need to have a change of scenery. At the same time, like I've said numerous times, the talent that he showed is still in there, and whether or not he can recover and get it back, he's young enough that even if it takes him 2 years and he's not back until he's 22, if you're another team, I would definitely be looking to trade for Markelle Fultz, especially when his value is suppressed. And if you could get him out of Philly for, you know, a song and a dance, I would definitely do it. And, you know, again, he may turn out to never be able to recover, but even if he gets back to being 90% of the number one overall draft choice in the NBA, you've gotten a pretty good player for what's probably going to be a pretty low price. So I would be buying, if I'm Philly, I would be leery of selling low on Fultz. And if I was another team, I would definitely look to buy low on him.
All right. The next question came from a friend of the pod, someone who's hopped on the one time and Mike was not here, Phil Spronz. He says, what's your surprise team for the new year? He says he thinks Utah could go on another run, and also don't count out a run from New Orleans. So you want to answer that question first, or do you want me to answer that question?
Sure. I'm with him on Utah. I mean, I obviously...
You picked them for number two.
I thought highly of Utah in the preseason. I still think that they have the necessary ingredients to be able to make a run and climb up the standings in the West. New Orleans, I'm kind of going the opposite direction on them. I just think that the Anthony Davis thing is hanging over them, and I don't care what they say. That has to be... in at least the back of the minds of the players, the coaching staff, the front office, everybody there has to be thinking about what's Anthony Davis going to end up doing, what do we have to do to keep him. And they just haven't seemingly put it together all year. You know, last year, especially in the playoffs, they were just going up, flying up and down the floor. And they were a lot of fun to watch, and it seemed like they had kind of figured out a formula, and they've had some injuries this year and just haven't been completely healthy, and they haven't put it together. And I think there's still a couple games below 500, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't see them climbing up the standings. I don't see them right now as a playoff team. And if that's the case, it's hard to imagine Anthony Davis saying, hey, I want to re-sign in New Orleans and take that supermax and be here for five more years with a front office and a team that seemingly hasn't been able to put the right pieces around him. I just think, especially in today's NBA, the idea of somebody staying put when they don't have other superstars around them or they don't have a winning situation, that hasn't been the pattern. The pattern has been I leave and I try to go to a better place where I can team up with somebody and have a legitimate chance to win the title. And he's been in the league now, this is like his seventh or eighth year, close to that. He's 24,
he's,
25.
He's been in the league longer than Kyrie, right?
I think so.
This is Kyrie's seventh year, so I think Davis is eighth.
So if it's his eighth year and he's gotten to the second round of the playoffs and he's never sniffed a team that is a potential NBA champion. So it would seem like, I know there was a quote that came out from him either last week or the week before that, you know, what matters to him is legacy. Money doesn't matter to him. And if that's the case, that doesn't bode well for New Orleans keeping his services. It bodes well for him getting out of there and trying to find somebody else that he can team up with and try to win some championships.
So my surprise team, and they've really come on lately, and specifically one player has kind of, I think, really changed the culture. I'm saying the Mavericks, man. I watched them play, and I just like watching them play. Luka Doncic, I'm telling you right now, he's the real deal. Like, he's legit, 100% the real deal.
Yeah, I think my two favorite guys that are young, I love watching Luka play, and I really like De'Aaron Fox from Sacramento.
Swipe of the Fox.
He's also, I think, changed the culture. Definitely have, you know, turned both of those young guys have turned their respective teams around in a way that I don't think anybody expected. Plus, Luka has the best theme song that I've heard from a player in a long, long time.
And he probably has the problem. You can't underestimate the mentorship role that Dirk Nowitzki's probably kind of taking him under the wing.
You would have to think
he went through the same thing. He came over from Germany, you know, he came over from Europe and kind of did this whole thing, and it was probably in a much less of a sensationalism piece when he came, because he wasn't as, but I'm just saying, like,
it's kind of amazing that Luka ended up in Dallas as a European player.
I mean, could you think of a better situation for him?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's incredible that all the things that had to take place in order for Luka to end up in Dallas. I mean, Atlanta has to trade for him to steal the line from Hallaluka. The baffling Kings took Bagley over Luka, which is my favorite line, I think, in the whole song. But, you know, again, and Bagley's going to probably end up being a good player, but Luka is going to end up being, I think, special,
yep.
Barring something that we can't foresee right now. I just think the things that he can do already on the floor, and not even just from a scoring standpoint, but just from an IQ and the way he plays and how he's come through already in big moments, speaks well for what he's going to become as he gets older and gets more experience and just, again, matures as an NBA player.
All right, last one. But before I say the last one, Russell Westbrook's 2-for-18 tonight against the Lakers. So I just thought I'd share that one with you.
That's a good
and he just airballed a jumper from the elbow. So the last thing was my friend asked, is it too late to start the lotto, or too, is it too early to start the lotto pick texts, or should we be on that train 2 weeks ago?
Well, I wouldn't. I would just text Zion. I would just bypass the lotto pick, because that could be bad karma. Because if we get a lotto pick, that could end up being number four.
Okay.
And I don't want to get number four. Let's just go for it.
Okay. Brendo, we're gonna just treat. We're gonna text Zion to each other every single time the Cavs lose. That's what we're gonna do. All right. So I think that's it. I don't have anything else. Did you have anything else NBA you wanted to talk about?
No, nothing else. Well, one last thing. Who's your MVP today, if you're voting right now today?
My MVP right now is probably, it's between two. Can I cop that, or do I need to pick one?
I'll give you two.
I think it's either it's Giannis or it's Kawhi. Those are my two.
It's Giannis because Kawhi's not playing back-to-backs. You can't give the MVP to a guy who doesn't play back-to-back games. There's no way. Giannis has just been, he's been ridiculous. I mean, you watch that guy play, and he's dunking on everybody. And they're obviously, yep, their team's having a tremendous amount of success, and I just think that right now his narrative is the best narrative.
I think Embiid for me is three, which by the way is crazy to think that I just said three players in the East.
Yeah, I mean if Philly gets to the top of the East, Embiid's going to be right there. I mean if he can get Philly on a run and they go and he's clearly the driving force, he's definitely going to be in the conversation. If Giannis can keep the Bucks in the top, you know, two or three, then I think it's Giannis's time.
And I will say, I don't know if you saw this stuff about, you know, we've already talked about Harden a lot, but someone said, I'm not gonna remember, but they said Harden's not the MVP. I think it was our boy Richard Jefferson. Anyways, he was on First Take or something talking about how Harden's not the MVP, blah, 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 blah. The only way I see Harden being the MVP is at the end of the season, Houston's the number one seed again, because they started off so abysmally, and he carries them up to the number one seed. I see him getting it in that case.
But don't you already, I already feel like there's a backlash against Harden simply because of some of the same reasons that I dislike him as a player.
I completely agree, but he won last year. So
right, but I think now that, you know, he got his one, and so now media has kind of moved off of him, and I think they're looking for, you know, they're looking for a new story.
Could you make the argument that LeBron's the MVP primarily because you watched what happened with the Cavs last year, and then
I think you can always make a case for LeBron being the MVP simply because, again, he's the best player in the league, and when he turns it on, and he doesn't always turn it on, which is, again, scary that you have a guy who's averaging 27, 7, and 7, or whatever he's averaging this year, and he's not necessarily playing at 100% capacity like you see him playing at in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I think you can always make the argument that LeBron is the MVP, same way you can always make
the
argument.
He carried the corpse of the Cavaliers last year to the finals.
Well, I mean, it's insane that what he was able to do last year. I think that was probably as great an accomplishment as he's ever had. And
he should have said that he was known that he was the GOAT when he took that team to the finals, yeah, not when he took
maybe. Well, and it's an argument. I mean, again, one of the things that you frequently hear cited when people talk about Jordan being better than LeBron is the fact that Jordan was 6-for-6 in the finals and LeBron's now 3-for-8. And I think that's true, and I think there's something to be said for that, and there's a reason why Jordan was 6-for-6. And at the same time, you know, you look at, would LeBron's legacy have been better if he'd have lost Game 7 to the Celtics, or was it better because he beat the Celtics and dragged that carcass of a team into the finals? And I think you have to give LeBron credit for getting to the finals with that particular group of players. So, yeah, there's always an argument to be made on LeBron's behalf. He's not going to win it unless the Lakers get up into the top two or three and he has a 30-game stretch at the end of the season where he just is unbelievable. I just don't see it.
Breaking news from Shams. I apologize for doing this. I want your reaction. That's like something I never thought I would say. After the Memphis loss to Detroit tonight, Garrett Temple and Omri Caspi got into a physical altercation in the locker room. Your response to that? Omri Caspi, physical confrontation.
Well, those two guys, that's a bantamweight fight, I believe.
When I read that, I couldn't believe it, so I had to share it.
Omri Caspi.
He wasn't physical at all.
He's scrappy, man. He's scrappy.
All right. I think we end on that.
I think that's it?
That nugget.
All right. Well, to everyone out there, we thank you for staying up late with us. We are recording this at, we are finishing up tonight.
12:35.
So thanks for sticking with us, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.